Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Seems like a new year we've never looked forward to so much, right? Turning the page on 2020. Well, I've been doing a 90-day read through the Bible, and you get to see kind of a bigger picture of how God works in people's lives. And I have been enjoying it, but I mostly listen to the Bible, and I came across this story in Exodus chapter 3. It's a story you're familiar with. But like a few years ago when I read Genesis chapter 4, it just kind of hit me with a new perspective. And so this is the story of Moses and the burning bush. And I listened to this story and I heard myself in this story. I heard people in our church in this story. And I hear people that I interact with on a regular basis in this story. And I wanted to just share this story as a challenge to us to be ready when God calls. To be ready when God gives us a job to do. And to think about what would my response be if I was Moses in that situation. So we're going to start with Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 5. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. But the bush was not consumed. And then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' And so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And then he said, 'Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Now, what an amazing event. Here we have a rancher, right? He's out taking care of his animals, and he sees a burning bush, right? Yeah. And how long does it take for a bush to burn? Depends on how dry it is. Depends on how big it is, right? But whatever would have been the normal time for this size of bush, Moses looks over and he's like, "That bush should have burned by now, right? What's going on here? I got to go figure out what's going on." So he goes to figure out what's going on, and all of a sudden this bush starts talking. "Moses, Moses." He's like, you know, "Okay, well, I'm right here. I'm Moses." And then he says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses knew the stories about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew how God talked to them. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Why was he afraid to look upon God? Because he knew that anybody who looks at God will die. Right? And you see that in several Old Testament stories, that people who had an appearance of an angel, they said, "Surely we're going to die because we have seen God." Now you might say, well, that is an amazing story, but it's what does that have to do with me? God's never told me to take off my sandals. God's never spoken to me from a burning bush. I would say that God has given you something greater than a burning bush. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. And therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You can't take off the sandals of your body. You can only take off the sandals of your feet. God says you need to purify your whole body because your whole body is now holy ground. Your whole body is where the presence of the Lord is. God dwells in your body through the Holy Spirit. And so like Moses, who was told to take off his sandals because we are standing on holy ground, now our own life, our very body is now dedicated to the Lord. And it is holy. It is set apart. Story continues in verse 7. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." Isn't that an excellent thing to know? God knows our sorrows. Even when we don't see Him working, even when we're going through trials and tribulations, hardship, we say, "God, I need your help." We know that God knows our sorrows. And God says, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So we see here that God is setting apart Moses for service for him. God says, "I'm sending you to help me save the people of Israel, to lead them to a new land, because I love them, I know their sorrows, I know they are being oppressed, and I am going to save them, I am going to rescue them." You might think, wow, what an amazing task that Moses was given, and certainly it was. We know from the rest of the story that it was a challenging job to lead the children of Israel. But has not God also sent us for a task? Has not God also set us apart to do the work? 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21 says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." God has set us apart in the same way that He set Moses apart to lead the children of Israel. He has set each one of us who have received the righteousness of Christ by faith, he has set us apart to be ambassadors to this world, to tell people of the goodness of God, and that sin, our sin, can be forgiven. Their sin can be forgiven. Now, is that a task worthy of respect? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is that an easy thing to do? To go out and reconcile people to God? Moses responds the same way a lot of us respond. Who am I? Who am I? Why in the world would you pick me to do that job? Exodus 3, 11 and 12 says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' So he said, 'I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" Moses is like, "God, do you know who you're talking to? Like, Moses, right? You know my name, but like, I'm the guy who ran away from, you know, that whole little mix-up back in Egypt. You know, I wasn't even raised by my parents. I'm just a rancher. I just take care of the sheep. I mean, who in the world do you think I am that I'm going to be the one to lead the children of Israel?" And sometimes we have that same idea when God says, "Hey, I want you to go and do this purpose. I want you to go and share the gospel with this person. I want you to go and tell them how they can be reconciled to God." And we say, "Who are you talking to? You talking to me? No?" Well, God said, "I am going to be with you." And he made that promise to us as well. So then Moses says, "Well, wait a second, God. Who are you? Like, when I go to tell people about you, what am I going to say? Like, what's your name?" Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God says to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then you will heed your they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, 'The Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.' But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand, and I will strike with Egypt with all of my wonders which I shall do in its midst, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and you shall plunder the Egyptians. What more do you need to know? Right? What more do you need to know? Moses says, what's your name, God? And God is kind of getting a little bit like, we need to wrap this up and move on, right? So he gives them the whole enchilada. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what you're going to do. Here's exactly what you're going to say. And now what is Moses going to respond with, right? What would you respond with? Oh, God. What am I going to do? So, here's Moses' next question. And it's a question that we have too. What if I share the gospel and they don't believe? What if I tell them the message and they don't believe? Then what do I do? Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And so the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And so he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. That's like my favorite part of the story, right? He takes his own stick, throws it on the ground, it becomes a serpent, and he runs away. This is not a guy full of courage, right? He is not full of courage. God said, cast it on the ground. And so he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Now, this is God saying, I know your phrase, so just grab the tail, all right? Moses is like, I don't think I can do that. He reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of the father of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put out your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again, and he drew it out of his bosom, and it, behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river, pour it onto the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. God gives him three miracles, three signs. What do we have? A whole lot more signs, a whole lot more witnesses, a whole lot more miracles. This is the one I think that gets a lot of people. What if I say something embarrassing? Exodus 4, 10 through 12, Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech, slow of tongue. And so the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Has Moses exhausted all of his excuses as to why he does not want to go and serve God? Has he exhausted all of his questions? Do you sense that God is running out of patience? Exodus 4:13 says, so God said, who has made man's mouth? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Isn't there anybody else that can do this job? Surely send the pastor. Surely send somebody else, because I am not the guy qualified for the job. Right? That's what Moses said. Hey, I'm not the guy. I got this job here. I'm taking care of the sheep. Right? I don't got time. I don't got the skills. I don't got the training. I don't got the coolness factor. I might be embarrassed. I might say something that you wouldn't want me to say. I might mess everything up. Can't you just send somebody else? Can't somebody else do this job? So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. There's a little bit of sarcasm in that. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. And so he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Here's the reality. God has given us many responsibilities. Husband, wife, father, mother, Christian, worker, right? We have so many different things that we have a responsibility to God to do. One of them is being a part of this church. One of them is practicing the covenant that we have agreed upon as a member of our church. We're going to be talking about more of those over the next coming weeks. But the question I have for you is, when you realize what your responsibility is before God, to do His will, to do what He wants you to do, what are you going to say? Are you going to say, yes, Lord? Are you going to say, as Mary said, let it be according to your word? Your servant is willing? Or are you going to be like Moses? Looking around, antsy. Isn't there anybody else who can do this? Come on, God. Like, seriously? The whole world and you decided for me to do all these things? Do you trust God enough to be obedient? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us a great task. Lord, you have given us the task of raising children for those who have children. You have given us the task to love our wives for those who have wives, our husbands for those who have husbands. And Lord, for those who are part of this church, you have called to fellowship, to gather together, to be faithful, to go out and tell other people about your kingdom, about who you are, and to reconcile the world to you. So, Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we would not be bashful, that we would not shy away from our responsibilities. Lord, like Moses, we're not perfect people. We've done some things that we're not proud of. But Lord, we know that when you pick somebody to do the job, that you'll give them the strength, the courage. If we're willing to follow you, if we're willing to do what you asked, you will guide us and strengthen us and help us. You are a merciful God. So Lord, I pray this morning, in this new year, Lord, that we would recommit to serving you. Yes, we have responsibilities, and you have asked them to us to do them faithfully, but Lord, faithfully for you. When we go out and do the job that you've given us to do, Lord, I pray that it would be with all of our heart, but it would be for you, that with our life we would seek to honor you above all else. When we love you first, Lord, everything else will fall into place. Lord, as we enter into this time of communion, we think about the blood, the bread, the body. Lord, we realize that you have dedicated your life to us. You came and lived and you died on the cross so that you could save us. And so, Lord, as we take up this communion, it is our declaration of trust in your forgiveness. Lord, of responding to you and saying, here I am. I am willing to do what you want me to do. You are my Lord and you are my Savior. So, Lord, as we spend some time in quiet prayer, as the elders come forward, Lord, I pray that you would just prick our hearts. Help us to be sensitive to the areas that we know you want to work on. And Lord, I pray that not like Moses, Lord, we would just say, okay, we'll do it. But Lord, there will be some here who want to make excuses. They want to say, well, this, that, and the other thing. And Lord, for them, give us grace. We all need grace. Please don't get angry with us as you did with Moses. As we work through our doubts, as we work through our fears, as we try to find the courage to rise up, to be the man that you want us to be, the woman that you want us to be. Lord, strengthen us. Don't tear us down. In Jesus' name we pray.